last week we talked about, or Marilyn talked about hurling pastors off of cliffs. And then we sat down and ate together. This morning I'm talking about eating together. I'll work on it a little bit. Some years ago, I had the opportunity to serve with the Mennonite Central Committee. That is our church's social development partner in the world, but also in Canada. And I was sent to Sarajevo, Bosnia. That's in the Balkans. That is, if you know where Italy is, you just keep going a little bit across the water and east, right, and you'll end up there. And one of the first things that I was told when I arrived was that we don't eat sweet and salty foods mixed together. I said, okay. There seemed to be some sort of reputation that North Americans have about eating salty and sweet foods together. So if you're a little bit unaware of what that might be, that's like yogurt and fruit. Yogurt is salty, fruit is sweet. Sweet and sour chicken balls, ham and pineapple. There was something else, Hawaiian pizza, etc., etc. And their foods there, the sweet foods were super sweet, and their salty foods were super salty. You know, I didn't meet anybody plus 60 out there either. So. And I thought, these are my kind of people. I gotta find me a wife. Well, it turns out I didn't have much luck. I guess everybody else knew that I was a foreigner. I hadn't quite mastered the language perfectly. Until one day, pretty little thing, I don't know if I can say that here. This pretty girl was showing all kinds of, or giving me all kinds of special attention. I thought, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. So it turns out, not too much later, we got married. The things you discover after you get married. See, she had also heard the rumor that all North Americans like to mix sweet and salty foods, and she thought she got herself a prize. The grass is always greener, I tell you. Food. It brings us together a lot of the time. But sometimes it creates barriers as well. We have all kinds of food allergy in our midst. And I think like 20, 25 years ago, this was not a very common thing. I remember growing up as a teen, oh, not a teenager, even younger than that, elementary school here in Virgil. And a friend of mine had a peanut allergy, and it was pretty severe. But we were like, peanut allergy, what is that? That's not a real thing, you must be joking. Today, we know better. But at that point in time, allergies weren't as prevalent as they were today. But for him, that meant there are certain places that he couldn't go. And there was certain food that he could not eat. Now, allergies are pretty common today, and we've made a lot of allowances to include people with allergies. More recently, there's the whole vegan debate. It's kind of dated now, but that is also a way that people have sort of segregated or separated themselves, and it's sort of created barriers between, can I eat with that person? They eat meat. I don't think so. Or, I don't know if I want to eat with that person who doesn't eat meat. So it is. Food. It is a powerful way to bring people together, and it is a real pleasure of life. But it also has the power to create barriers between us. I ask you, have you ever found yourself separated or segregated by what you eat or what you don't eat? Has it ever occurred to you that there was somewhere you couldn't go or with some people that you couldn't sit with or eat with? Have you ever found yourself segregated by what you do or don't do? Have you ever found yourself in the church being segregated or separated by what you believe or by what you do? If you have, you would find yourself in good company with the Corinthians. In the Corinthian church, they had many divisive issues there, and one of which was eating meat. Not in our sort of vegetarian omnivore sort of way, but rather in this meat being sold in the marketplace that I just bought was used at the local temple in a sacrifice to the local god, which would not have been our god, which would have been the pagan god, the god of that town. And the church was divided on this issue, as we heard in the book of Corinthians, or in the part of Corinthians. And I think the big debate was, as we would like to put it, what does it mean to be in the world, but not of it? There were some people that were okay with eating meat. The rhetoric that they would have used would have been, you know, that there's only one God, and all those other gods, those so-called gods, aren't really gods. And so if we understand that there's only one God, then we are free to eat of this meat, because what does it matter? They're not real. But the other group was saying, sort of on the other side, was saying, no. If we eat the meat, that means that we are worshiping this other God. And we should not be a part of that. And so this Christian community, this new Christian community, were at a divisive place, and they didn't know what to do. And thanks be to God, there is Paul, and Paul writes letters, and Paul's letters get sent, and they get kept. And so Paul writes to them a letter, and he gives them clarification, and he doesn't really highlight it in this chapter, but he highlights it later on. You can't eat at the temple, but you can buy meat from the marketplace. See, meat in the ancient world was more of a luxury and a delicacy, and it was most often directly connected to the civic and religious affairs in the city. People didn't just go to the butcher shop and say, you know what, I feel like having steak this night or this evening for supper. Most meats would have been used in sacrifice. And we read this in our own Bibles in the Old Testament with the Passover, when they would bring a lamb and they would sacrifice it. And then the family would get to eat and participate in it. And it would be a joy because of celebration. And so to go to the temple to sacrifice was a good thing. It was a glorious thing. And it was something that you look forward to, because meat wasn't that commonplace. And so we have two groups in this church. One declaring their rights to eat meat, and the other one saying it is not right to eat meat. And they call in Paul. And I can imagine them writing to Paul, and each side sends their own messenger, and they say, blast them, Paul, tell those other Christians that they are wrong. Tell them that they think they know, but they don't know. Because I know, and my conscience is clear, so tell them, Paul, that they are wrong, and that they should see things my way. And so Paul does, and you heard his words already. He says, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. If anyone imagines he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. Because if anybody loves God, he is known by God. And later he says, food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we eat or if we do eat. But take care that this right of yours does not cause your weaker brother to stumble. What Paul is in essence saying here is something that Jesus said long before. He said, to love God means to love your neighbor. And John also pointed out well that we must forgive and take care of our brothers and sisters. If anyone says, I love God but hates his brother, he is a liar. For who does not love his brother cannot love God who created his brother or sister. And this is the command we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister. And that's from 1 John 4. And this is a reoccurring theme that we have throughout the letters to the Corinthians, but also throughout much of the New Testament. These New Testament letters were written to new churches who are figuring out their Christianity, their beliefs. And how do we live with one another? It's because two different groups were being brought together, not just Gentiles who thought, we can eat meat and we can't eat meat, but we also had a Jewish community being brought in who said, we don't even eat with Gentiles altogether. And yet, Christ says that we are to be one family. And that is what Paul is here trying to do in the Corinthian church. You are to be one family. You are to be united as Christ is united. And we know how Christ unites, Paul says. He says he dies for you. And so in this essence, that is the message that Paul wants the Corinthian believers to hear. He says, if you don't want to know how to rule wisely on this decision regarding meat, then die to your rights and love your brother and love your sister. In essence, he's saying, you know, you have everything you need to know to make a wise decision. You have the love of Christ in you. And if Christ, the love of Christ is in you, then love your neighbor the way that Christ loves you, and you will figure it out. Christ is about bringing new life to new communities. Christ is about bringing people together into one family, in one church. About bringing two people together to create one person. To bringing two groups to make one church. And now, we as a church, Niagara United Mennonite Church, we are beginning a new journey together. I was installed last Sunday, but I was sort of ready working in August, and I've got my first sermon here this Sunday. And I'm not even like that soaked in sweat, so it's pretty good. And if you were here last Sunday, you would have noted that the installation sounded an awful lot like, kind of like a marriage ceremony. We were exchanging promises. We were making a covenant of how we wanted to relate with one another, how we wanted to love one another, and how to extend forgiveness and receive forgiveness when we make mistakes. And as a church, as I'm growing to understand that you've also been on a journey these last 3 years. You have interim staff come and serve you and then hand off the work to someone else. You had David Lewis and then Waldo, and now I have come on as the final or as the last sort of minister in this last while. We have a brand new staff. As we celebrated last Sunday and this Sunday, we have Renata and Chris. Now the difficulty comes, I can remember everybody's name again, yeah? Renata and Chris and Rachel, as she's on mat leave. So we have Ruth and we have Emily and we have Zach and Nancy and we have, and I'm here as well. And we're new. And we want to love the church as you want to love us. And we're going to be doing some new work together. And that means we're probably going to make mistakes. We're probably going to err. We're probably not going to get everything right. Because we don't know this future that God is calling us together. And because we don't know, we don't have the answers. And even if we do think we know, we probably still don't have the right answers. But I believe that God is calling us to do a new work here in this community in the season. And you've heard already some of the new things that are going to be happening this fall. We've got Sunday school happening. Praise God for that. We have the Alpha program to help us grow together and have conversations about God and what God is doing in our lives and what we see God doing in our community. And how do we speak to one another about that work? And that will sort of be rocky and patchy, and we will stumble at the beginning. But the more we practice, the better we will get. The more we practice at talking about the different things that we believe, and the more we work at it and come at it towards one another in love, the better that we will learn to do life together. Because it's not just about bearing with one another, suffering with one another. It's about flourishing together as a people of God. That's what Paul wants for this Corinthian church. He doesn't want them just to sort of like sit in their other corners and the one group eating meat and the other one not eating meat. But he wants them to sit together at the same table. And if that moment it means that we are not going to meet, then so be it for the fellowship of God. Or maybe it will mean, okay, my brother, my sister understands that meat is not sinful. So I will abide with them. And not separate myself from them. We are a fledgling church in some respects. We are doing something new together. And I'm excited. I'm excited about this new work that God wants to do here in this place. That's why I'm here, actually. Yeah? If I didn't believe that God was doing something here, you know, I would have stayed and shoveled snow in Saskatchewan. Because it was lovely, you know. I think they already got snow there, so like... No, we won't. That said, we're not going to agree on everything, and you know that. We don't agree on everything in our marriages either. You know, whether it's, you know, do we put the ham on the pineapple or the pineapple on the ham, or can you please bake the ham without the pineapple and then add it afterwards? You know, well, we're still working some stuff out. We're just cresting our 7-year itch here, so, you know. But we know that God is bigger. We know that God is bigger than our problems or our desires. And that is why we're here. We're here because of Christ, not because whether we eat meat or don't eat meat. We're here because of Christ, because Christ has drawn us into this place, into this church for this season in our lives. Paul says in Romans, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Christ has called us to eat together, to be salt and sugar in this world, in the places where it is needed. Some people are salty and some are sweet, and we need both in order to create a beautiful dish. And is that why not God has given us one another? I guess you could say to make up for where one another lacks. I would say that is also in marriage. That's why God gives us our spouses, if you're so lucky to be married, to sort of help us to grow in the ways we need to grow. I think God's secret joy is watching us as we learn new things from one another, new things from our spouses, years after we've come together, years after we've been married, and we discover new quirks and joys, and we also find the joy in overcoming new challenges together, challenges that grow us together. And I think that as you continue and as we continue to hold fast to one another, we'll discover that God will be drawing us into some new, beautiful thing that we could never have imagined. This is what I want to live into. This is the person that I want to be. And this is what I wish for our church. And that's not always easy. I say that on better days in my marriage that I'm okay with on his weird quirks. But I do believe that just as the Corinthian church was a church of God, that we are here too. And we will carry on a message for the future as well, so long as we hold fast to the thing that unites us above all, which is Christ. Amen. Let us pray together, and then we will join together for a closing song. God, you have drawn us together from many different places to be church here in Niagara. Father, we come from different places, which means we come with different understandings. And yet you have called us. And you continue to call us. Remind us of that, that we are here because of you. Because you have called us. And in that, give us also freedom to talk about the places that we disagree. And give us courage to hear one another. And to continue to come together, to eat together. As you call us, and as you are the host at our meals, and will be at our future meal together in heaven. Amen.
we'd like to close our service with I'm Pressing on the Upward Way, page 96 in Sing the Journey. Please stand.